The Kentucky Wildcats are in the national championship. It's UK and UConn on Monday night.
Welcome into the zone, everybody, on Championship Monday. Pat Bradley here with Matty T. Back there on the ones and twos, answering your calls, pressing the buttons. And, of course, he's got some dynamite drop-ins ready for today. Can't wait. Covering everything from sports to entertainment to movies. Special guest in the studio today, the Fury Electric Studio, RJ Hawk.
Big guy.
The Hawk will soar today for seven straight hours.
Seven straight, but you know what?
But
we're going to have some fun because national championship time has come, my friend. And I am utterly shocked.
Oh, you are shocked.
I did not give UConn a slim chance. Said that Florida was going to beat the brakes off of UConn.
Yeah.
And boy, was I wrong. Well, you know, when Florida got up, what was it, 16-4, 17-4, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm a prophet.
You pat yourself on the back.
I'm thinking it's on.
You were counting your money, weren't you?
And
you were.
And
yeah,
then
you
it all just turned around. I mean, you look at it, UConn takes a 25-22 lead at the half, and it's the defense they played, though. I think that's really what, when you look at it, they weren't playing defense early in that ball game. And, they turned it on and really, you know, did the same thing in the second half, went on to win.
It was pretty uncharacteristic for Florida when you look at, and we have some sound from that, and we'll get into it, try to make sense out of it, because Florida didn't play, of course, Wilbekin didn't have the kind of game that he's had pretty much all year for Florida, turned the ball over, just wasn't his. He wasn't in control of the game like he's been normally.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, he's the head of Florida. He is the head, there's no doubt about it. As he goes, they go. And the thing that those UConn guards can do, they can get up and bother you.
Wilbekin was 2 of 9 in the game. He was 2 of 9.
Not only was he 2 of 9, but he had 3 turnovers, which is more, he had more in that game than he had in like the last 5 or 6 games,
mm-hmm.
and that's your point guard.
Well, I don't think there's been many games this year that Florida has shot 38%, 39% for a game. I mean,
the thing is, though, they can win that way.
They can
win that way because they play such good defense themselves. It was just a day when UConn was able to get control of the game, mainly because Wilbekin could not get in the paint, which he normally does. He creates issues for these guys. We got some sound from Billy D here later on in the show. But let me set up the show for you today, my friend. We have, of course, some Championship Monday talk. We'll talk the Final Four. Got some questions about the Final Four Saturday night that what stood out to you, as well as get into the championship game preview tonight, UConn, Kentucky. And we'll talk a little Major League Baseball as well. Opening week last week, we got Bleacher Report's top writer joining us, going to ask him some of the headlines from the weekend. Yeah, Matty T. How do you pronounce his name again?
Oh, no, I'm not going to try it. It's very close to Jason Catania.
Get ready for Jason Catania, my friend.
Catania.
Puig, he got himself benched first home game. How does that happen?
Well, because he's Puig. That's what he does.
What's the end game for this guy?
But, you know, here's the thing. Puig is one of those guys that he's an outlandish guy, but he's not going to do anything that gets him in trouble like the steroids. Or
yet.
Going.
Okay, like that. All right.
I don't think
he needs steroids.
He's just going to be a guy that is going to be a Johnny Manziel type of character, where he's going to be in the casinos throwing down $100 bills when he's underage. He's going to be the guy that is going to be at a bar trying to, you know, drink under 21. He's that type of guy that's going to make those type of headlines. And he's never going to do anything that's going to be harmful for his career, where, you know, where he's going to do steroids or he's going to kill somebody, being a drunken driving incident. That's not going to be him. But
I could see him being like a Manny Ramirez.
Yes.
Just completely disconnected from what the norm is and how to act.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming in late whenever you want, but share talent. So you're going to put up with it.
You got to.
Manny being Manny.
Manny being Manny.
Yasiel Puig being Yasiel Puig.
Boston, they held on to Manny forever.
And Manny's one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time, my friend.
They held on to him, and so Here's the thing, you know, you're not going to let good talent go unless something really, really bad happens. And nothing really, really bad is going to happen with Puig.
But okay, I hope not.
He's a good story. I mean, it's a good conversation story.
I'm hoping that your prediction isn't as accurate as your
Florida pick
over the weekend.
Good point.
Although a lot of people had the same issues as you. In addition to that, we'll talk to Matt Jones.
Who?
Editor. Whole Hog Sports, not the quarterback Matt Jones, the overtime Matt Jones, but Matt Jones from Whole Hog Sports.
Yeah.
Big news for the Hall of Fame and Razorback fans and fans of Coach Nolan Richardson, who's going into the Hall of Fame. Finally, we'll get Matt Jones on. He had done a little bit of research.
Possibly Eddie Sutton. If you listen to the morning show this morning.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, I kind of screwed that one up.
Well, that's okay.
I didn't really screw it up, but I said that Eddie Sutton was going to be is a finalist along with Nolan Richardson.
Right.
So there's still a chance Eddie Sutton could get into the Hall of Fame.
There's a chance.
There's a chance.
You could get into the Hall of Fame still. There's a chance.
There's not even a remote chance I could.
You never know.
No. Not happening. But I will say.
Coach Cal hires you?
No.
Be his lead recruiter?
Not going to happen.
What do you think?
Nope.
You've improved.
Doing really good.
Pickup basketball, you've improved.
I have done that.
Incredibly.
Yes you're right.
And, of course, we'll talk some entertainment news with our buddy Justin Moore.
Is he calling in?
No. He's not calling in, but we got some sound from him. And what I can't believe, how is he a newcomer? This guy's been on the scene for a long time.
We had him on the morning show, I guess, a couple weeks ago. And Justin said that they do things differently with the ACMs. He said because because he's been on the scene for like 7 years.
Yeah.
6 years, 7 years. Had a couple number one hits. But the way that they go by your career and how many number ones really put you on the scene. And so, really, if you think about it, his breakout year was this last year when he had a couple number ones all in the same year. And so that's, according to Justin, that's what kind of put him on the map and really got his name amongst, you know, the award show people. Because you've got Nashville, and then you've got a whole different group of award show people. And so, according to Justin, this was what Justin told us, was that he's not really a newcomer. He's been around for a while.
Not even close.
But according to these award show people, then he's a newcomer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matty T, you buying it?
I'm surprised he didn't thank the zone in his acceptance speech.
Well, we'll hear.
I've been supporting him since day one.
I know you have.
Once they get to the top, you know how it is.
Speaking of being at the top, did you see over the weekend Drake was in Kentucky's locker room?
Talking about a bandwagon jumper.
He was asked about it. Some kid had asked him on video, how long you been a Kentucky fan? He said, always.
Yeah.
And then I got a tweet from a guy that said, how do you compete with Calipari in Kentucky when it comes to recruiting when you get Drake in your locker room after the game?
Yeah. Now, wasn't he on the Michigan bandwagon there for a while? I think he was.
he might have been.
I think he was because I thought that he was sending out tweets about Michigan for a while.
Well, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
Certainly Michigan is a lot closer to Canada than Kentucky is.
It's a lot closer. I'm not a big Drake fan. Like, if I'm a player, and I know that I'm not your normal basketball player, but if Drake shows up in my locker room, I'm like, who are you and why are you here?
As far as rappers from Canada go, though, he is one of the best.
He's not bad. I'm just not a big fan.
Connecticut 63, Florida 53. That was the first game.
Yeah.
And for those of you who were watching and did expect Florida to run away with this, much like I did, RJ did, UConn had a spurt in that first half, knocked down three threes. It basically gave them that momentum, ignited that first half momentum. And Florida had trouble shooting free throws. They couldn't hit any threes. And they went to a small lineup, which caused a lot of problems for Florida.
Mm-hmm.
UConn's, when they went to three guards who could penetrate, I always say this, RJ, dribble penetration is the most devastating move in all of basketball.
That's what you tell me in pickup games.
Dribble penetration, it kills you.
You should get that put on a t-shirt.
Isn't that good? Dribble penetration. And that's what, when you watch these games, even tonight's game, the guards who are able to get in the lane and cause havoc is what is going to be the difference. Kentucky's guards were able to do that, sat against Wisconsin. Matter of fact, the final shot, you had one of the Harrison brothers dribble all the way to the basket, kick it down low to Johnson, back outside to the Harrison kid. He swings it to his brother. Tough shot, no question. The Wisconsin kid should have been chest to chest with him, but it's that dribble penetration. And Florida's guards weren't able to get any dribble penetration, get in the lane, cause havoc, and that's what was the difference. UConn's guys were able to, and you saw multiple times, got in the lane, whether it was Napier, Boatwright, got in the lane, kicked off with some threes.
I think the nation was shocked by UConn. I don't know if they were shocked, but just the way that they went about that beating of Florida. Because if you think about it, you've got a guy in DeAndre Daniels who comes in and puts, you know, double-double up with 20 and 10. Then, because everybody's eyes were on Shabazz Napier. What's Shabazz Napier going to do in this game? And he came out, put up 12 points, had 6 assists, 3 rebounds. And then Boatwright added 13 to it. And really, it was a collective team effort. I mean, this was a team that they played a lot better defense than they were given credit for. I know a lot of pundits across the country, you know, going into that game said Florida is the better defensive team. And they may have. But when it came down to, you know, fighting back in that ball game and then, you know, sustaining throughout the game, the defense showed it was on UConn. I mean, they were the team that was the better defensive team.
To win a national championship, you got to have, obviously, a team that's offensively can score for you, defensively can lock people down. There's no mm-hmm. question. That's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to have a preference of a set of guards who can lock you down, who can create havoc, who can create ball pressure from baseline to baseline, we all still know one thing.
Yeah.
Ball pressure is going to make you crumble.
Value the ball.
So if you got a team where your strength is you can put that ball pressure on the guards, not allow them to get into any offensive sets, not allow them to be comfortable, you're going to have a better chance of winning. And in tonight's game, what you see is the same thing. Those guards, those Harrison kids, Randall, don't get me wrong, kid's fantastic.
Yeah.
They have Johnson and Poitras and Marcus Lee, this Kentucky, who are playing volleyball.
Yeah.
But if those UConn guards can bother the Harrison twins like they did against Florida with those guards, UConn's going to win this game. And well, I think they will win this game.
Let me ask you this, though. Kentucky, you keep thinking, man, Kentucky's going to... They're going to give in at some point. This road, this magical run through the tournament's going to end at some point. But they seem like they keep getting better and better. I mean, what is the weakness for this Kentucky team? Because, you know, everybody talks about how, you know, how talented this team is, but nobody really ever identifies their weakness. Yeah. And when I look at that team, I don't see many weaknesses. You being a former player, what is a weakness that you see from Kentucky?
There's one thing you're not going to do. You're not going to be able to beat them on the boards. Yeah. They're just too big, they're too athletic, they're too aggressive on the board. So they live a lot by offensive rebound stick backs, okay? Mm-hmm. No question. I just don't think they got too many athletes and too many guys who are attacking that glass where you're going to stop that.
Yeah.
Where I think you can beat them, and we saw the Razorbacks beat these guys twice. We saw the Hogs beat them twice.
Still trying to figure out how that happened.
Here's how it happened. I talked to Mike Anderson last week.
Yeah.
And he said one thing we could do to them is we were able to get up in their guards and make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think if you can do that to those Harrison kids, they've been playing so much better because they've been able to get in the lane. How many times did we see, and they're big now, they're 6'6", they're strong.
Yeah.
So if they get that shoulder by you, the hip by you, they're just going to put you right on their side, and they're going to go all the way to the hoop.
Yeah.
That creates so many problems. So if they can keep them out of the lane, UConn has got a shot at this. Other than that, they're dependent on throwing the ball into Randall, who is effective certainly on the block, but without dribble penetration, you're not getting any of the kickouts for threes, open jump shots, and you're not getting the ball where you want it to be, and that's the highest percentage shots in the lane because they can finish. So to me, that's why UConn has what could really be bothersome to Kentucky.
My thing is, in that Wisconsin-Kentucky game, how do you not find Aaron Harrison, and how do you not keep him on your hip the entire time and say, look, this guy's not touching the basketball. We're not going to allow him to even get the basketball to attempt a shot. I mean, because he still...
Though he was 5 feet behind the three-point line.
It was a tough shot, but that's almost the same exact spot that he hit the first one from.
Well, here's the thing. What's the only thing that can beat you? You're up to the only thing that can beat you is a three.
Yeah.
So there's no question. The second he's catching, even though let him catch it.
Yeah.
That's my other thing is don't let him catch it.
Yeah.
Deny him. There's a few guys on that court that you know can beat you with the three.
Yeah.
There's not many of them.
No.
There was just, I think Young probably was in there at the time.
Young,
and,
yeah.
And two Harrison. So you deny them. 501-433-1037. 501-433-1037.
I think you've got something there. Don't supply them, deny them.
I like it.
That's your next T-shirt.
Don't supply them, deny them. Matty T.
Come back.
Yeah, do you got your? Can you see your calls?
Yes, I do. I see Gregory. Do we have
some great highlights?
You know what? Let's go to Gregory, and then we'll come back with a few highlights. We got Billy D talking about the loss and Kevin Ollie, which the dynamic with Calipari and Kevin Ollie
is amazing. First off, Kevin Ollie in his first trip to take a team to the NCAA tournament and takes them to the national title game. I mean, that is not Kevin Ollie. I'm talking about
Kevin Ollie.
Yeah, Kevin Ollie. That amazing. That is an amazing.
No postseason last year for Connecticut because of violations.
How great is that?
Big time. Big time. Let's go to the phones. Gregory, what's up, buddy?
Hey guys.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening?
Man, not much. What's going on with y'all?
Just trying to make sense of this Final Four weekend, yeah. My man.
Well, I heard that. I was wondering. I heard y'all Friday talking about Floyd Mayweather Jr. betting $8 million on Kentucky.
Yeah.
Gave up a point and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, it was a point and a half.
Was it a
time.
Point and a half?
Yeah, it was a point and a half.
And I'm just wondering if he's going to double down tonight. Yeah.
I don't think that'd be smart.
Well, if he took,
two and a half now, I think.
Well, was Kentucky favored?
Kentucky was favored, yes.
So my thing, if he bet $8.5 million,
he lost.
Yeah, he lost.
So, but you know, we haven't seen a ticket yet of him actually doing it.
I thought I had heard it was at a point though by game time. That's just what somebody told me.
So he pushed.
So he would have pushed.
Yeah.
In fact, he would have pushed.
But well, you would think that
one and a half, and they only won by one, right?
Yeah. Well,
so that's a push?
Well, Pat's saying he got it at one.
I thought that was a loss.
No, Pat's saying he got it at one, not one and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about you guys. You guys
are
doing
fine.
Great.
You're good, Gregory.
All right,
man.
Buddy. Be good.
Later.
Bye-bye. I don't know.
If he did win, I'm sure there'd be pictures all over the internet showing his winning tickets.
And that's the thing is, we talked about this on Overtime on Friday. If you were going to bet $8 million on a game, you would see a ticket. We've not seen, you know, when he bet on the Texas A&M Arkansas game and bet on the second half line, he tweeted out a picture of the ticket.
Ticket was everywhere?
Of $350,000, whatever he bet. The ticket is out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have yet to see a ticket for this, so I don't think he did it.
Some of the other weekend game balls, jock straps. I didn't realize that this was going on.
Okay.
Apparently, CBS, everybody covering the NCAA tournament,
yeah,
had been talking about this for weeks. I did not catch on to this.
Of what?
I was watching the game on TBS.
You got caught on the team cast.
Right, well, I was watching it on TBS because I looked. It said game is going to be on TBS. Didn't say anything else. Well, apparently, TNT and True TV were also playing the games, but had each team's broadcast.
Yeah.
And multiple people. I even got a text message from, I think it was my brother, saying how terrible are these commentators.
Yeah.
I said, well, you talking about Steve Kerr, Greg Anthony? Yeah. Greg Anthony's pretty bad. I know that already.
You don't like Greg Anthony?
I don't like Greg Anthony.
I like that guy.
Is that?
Yeah, take your time, though.
Okay,
just a little indie break music, but take your time.
So apparently, it got so many people upset and confused that they didn't realize that it was the team's actual broadcast being played on TNT, one of them, and the other one was on True TV.
Yeah.
And TBS had the actual.
Well, they didn't
call
really
the
do
game.
A good job of promoting that.
Didn't do a good job of promoting it. Didn't even explain it at all.
Did you see Barkley, though? Barkley had a. He comes on at halftime and he says, you know, I don't even do this Twitter thing, but everybody keeps tweeting all of us up here. He says, you idiots. You don't understand that these are team cast. He said, yes, we understand that they're being biased for Kentucky. It was funny. You got to see it.
I did hear about that. I didn't see it. What do you think about that? The cast of characters they have up there.
I like it. You know what? I like
Grant Hill's terrible.
What?
No question about it. Grant Hill is terrible.
Well, but that's a different broadcast.
Steve Smith is a...
The one with Barkley and that group.
Kellogg. The Jet.
I like that one. Kenny the Jet is awesome. I love that guy.
Kenny's good. Kenny can break it down for you.
Barkley's awesome, but the other ones, I mean, you know what? They're just they're only there for the championship and for the NCAA tournament. Well, we're never going to see him again.
Seth Davis isn't bad. See, Seth Davis and I think Steve Smith and Kellogg, they do the year-round yes. CBS deals whenever they yeah. play Sundays on CBS and they're covering college basketball. So I thought Kellogg, sometimes he's trying to compete too much with Barkley and Kenny the Jet.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
I agree.
Let us take a break right now. 501-433-1037 after the break. Got some conference tournament payouts. Got some numbers.
Okay.
And some numbers that these coaches were able to haul in because of a Final Four appearance.
Big money, man.
Big money.
Hey, are we doing game balls and jock straps today?
Yes, sir. I want to get your game balls and jock straps from over
the
weekend.
I've got a couple.
Do you really?
I do.
From basketball? Oh, I'll just wait.
No, actually not.
From around the world of sports.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Pat at 1037thebuzz.com for your emails. 501-433-1037. This is the Buzz Radio Network, and you're listening to The Zone. We'll be right back. I'm keeping crazy, won't it post the